There are few things life has to offer that is a great above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Christian Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right. With every box purchase, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. F.K. Christian, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
Measures Radio is on the air.
Your path has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us. And we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. Can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. Can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening, all my friends. Welcome to the Tinker's Shop for Saturday evening, the 24th of May of 2014. Yes. Oh, such is the joys of live radio there. Hopefully my sound is a little bit better now. It was kind of muddied up there a little bit at first, but I think we got everything, shall we say, squared away here now. So tonight, what I'm going to be talking about is potato planting. I know last week I'd said that I was going to go ahead and probably talk about doing breads and such, but I decided, you know, this week here, this has been kind of, shall we say, the potato planting week around our little homestead here, so therefore I decided, yeah, I'm gonna talk about that instead tonight. So, I suppose first thing we should do is probably go out to our webpage, as as we usually do, out at Arlin, A-R-L-I-N-N hyphen Tower, T-O-W-E-R .com, and that would be it. You'd go ahead and go to the Tinker's Shop, and what the heck, I'm going to do this. I'll go ahead and just drop the link here in the chat room, so therefore people don't have to try and go with my oddball voice. So there we go. We got the link. And I think perhaps what I might do here, just to kind of set the mood a little bit for what we're doing tonight here, I'm going to put in another short piece of music here. It's only about a little over 3 minutes long. And it's by a guy by the name of Ed Drury. It's called Lakeshore. See, I suppose I should probably give you guys an update here quick, too, because people probably have been wondering. Nugget is doing pretty well. He's healing up. He was in to see the, the orthopedic surgeon guy yesterday who had done the setting for his arm. And the gentleman said that he is definitely healing well. And he figured what he was going to do after looking at the x-rays. He said he was going to go ahead and just reinforce the cast that he has on his arm now to make sure nothing moves around. He'd give it another week, and then he would go ahead and probably take this temporary cast off and give him a real one. But he said that from fluoroscope or x-rays or what that he did, but he just said the arm is healing. Which is good. Nothing's moved around from where he'd put it back there a week ago. So, Nugget, or Jacob, however you want to call him, is doing well. And let's see, what else was there here? I know there was some discussion here in the chat room about trees and such. Well, our fruit trees here are finally leafing out and getting some blossoms on, so maybe we'll get some fruit this year. They got a severe haircut this spring, much earlier this spring, and I was like, hopefully it wasn't too much, and well, the trees are coming back, so we're in good shape there. Okay, so now we've kind of given everybody a couple of minutes here extra, you know, for the latecomers to get here. So, with that said, I went ahead and gave you the address for the usual webpage. And so if we go ahead on the Tinker Shop homepage here, if you scroll just down a little bit on the page here, you'll see an entry that says potatoes in containers. So that's what we're going to go looking at this week. And I got a fairly decent amount of text in here because I, you know, wrote everything up ahead of time. Yeah, this year we've been doing a lot of concentrating on potatoes in our garden. See, I think it's, let's see, for hills wise, we're up to probably about 175 hills of potatoes. Went for variety this year. Good old Kennebec, which are a long keeper. Got, what do they call, Mega Chippers and Yukon Golds. Again, those are fairly long keepers. Pretty tasty ones. Got some Adirondack Blues, which are look more like a purple potato inside. And then my wife has also gone ahead and gotten a bunch of Lesotho Reds in. You know, that's all ones we've planted in the ground to our standard method. And since I've gotten so many potatoes in the ground here in traditional hills, this year I decided I'd go ahead and try a new alternative method of planting. And the reason for that is we have got such a backlog of sprouted potatoes here. I've still probably got another 150 potatoes to go that I could actually cut for sets, but I'm not going to. Because I did go ahead and decide I was going to try, let's see, what would you call it? I guess you could call it container gardening for potatoes this year. And, well, how best to go with this here? Well, why don't I just go from my notes here? Yeah, over the last several years, I've seen quite a few different alternatives for, planting potatoes. You know, I actually tried them in, old auto or truck tires one year. You know, stacked those puppies up, and I was not real impressed. I have a funny feeling those tires had something in them that just inhibited the potatoes from growing properly. Out of three large stacks where theoretically I should have gotten probably 75 pounds of potatoes out of, I think I got maybe 10 at most. You know, I barely got my seed potatoes back from that year. Also, another way some people have done is planting in wooden boxes where they'll take like 4 2x4s about 4 foot long, and then they basically screw boards onto the outside of it and fill it up with mulch as they go. Yeah, so the potatoes sprout, they put more mulch in, then put another row of boards on. To me, that seems almost too much like work. If you're gonna try doing potatoes, go for a method where you can save yourself a lot of work on them if you're trying an alternative. Other people have done them in bags, where they literally just take like a, what, probably a 30-gallon plastic bag and put their potatoes in there, you know, punch a few holes in it and start doing it with mulch and dirt and going up. And then the last method is in buckets, and that's actually the way I decided to go with. You know, currently my main crop potatoes, like I said, it's done in raised beds, so it's kind of halfway between the traditional hills and box planting, but it's just, you know, one layer high. So, so like I said, this year I decided I was going to do my excess starts in buckets, and actually down at the bottom of this first box on the screen here, I've actually got three YouTube videos that I've linked to. These are three of them that I'd seen, among others, where they were talking about planting in containers. And they're kind of inspirational in their own way. And let's see. The guys in the videos, they're both from England. And they used either 30-liter pots or, you know, bags. Of course, I don't have access to 30-liter pots, so I went for the next best thing. I talked to the local nursery, and I got, 2022 black plastic, I guess you'd call them pots, or it's the black plastic container. It's about 15 inches in diameter, 15 inches high, that when they dig trees and take them out to plant at somebody's place, they put the root ball right in the bucket, and they go out and, you know, dig the hole and pull the bucket off and put the whole root ball into the ground and then pack it around. So these are an expendable item for them, and I decided it's roughly about the same size. It's roughly 6 gallons or so. So that's what I went with. These guys, they've used, in their videos, they talk about using a general fertilizer. And in several of them, the one gentleman just said, throw 4 ounces of general fertilizer in and mix it with the compost. Then there was a later on video that he had where he did a little bit a better of an explanation. He actually uses a bone, blood, and fish-based general fertilizer. And again, since it's not available here in the States, the stuff that he had, I decided, well, I'd go ahead and make my own. And so that's what I did. I went ahead and got, one bag of blood meal, bag of bone meal, and one bag of marine cuisine. And that's one that's composed of a whole bunch of different stuff. Yeah, there's ground up shrimp, there's sardines, lobsters, just all kinds of stuff. Basically what it is it's the leftovers from when they were out netting. The stuff that isn't fit for human consumption directly. That's instead of just dumping it in the ocean as chum, I guess they just go ahead and gather it and process it and make fertilizer out of it. So that's kind of a neat concept to do. Okay, and then for the compost portion, I actually use composted leaves from my local recycling center, which I had gone ahead and screened out all the lumps and such from. And with the composted leaves, I actually get them by the trailer load from, like I said, the city recycling center for free. And actually, today, my older son and I, we went down and we got another 4 foot by 8 foot trailer full of compost, 2 foot high. Yeah, that's over the next few weeks is going to get screened through and processed, so I'll have a ready supply of compost for as the season goes on.
And in general, what I had done was with these buckets that I created or got, I took 10 of them, basically used as a control set, and used compost and Milorganite fertilizer, and then the additional 12 that I had, I went ahead and did it using my own homebrew mix. So let's see here. Why don't I do this at this point? Because it's about 20 past the hour, and I should probably, you know, take a short break here just to kind of wet my whistle. So I'm just gonna go ahead and put a little bitty tune in here, about 3 minutes worth, and then I'll be back. So in the meantime here, I'll get myself a drink and check in the chat room. Please enjoy.
I was born in a Dublin street where the royal drums did beat, and the loving English speak they tramp all over us. And every single night when my father come on tight, he'd invite the neighbors outside for a chorus. Oh, come out, you black in the tan, come out and fight me like a man. So the white fella you and fellows down in Flanders, summer of the IRA, fish run like hell away from the green and lovely lanes of Kilashara. Tell us how you slew that poor Arabs to buy to the Zulus. They had spears and bows and arrows. How you bravely faced each one with your 60-pound gun, and you frightened them poor natives to the marrow. Come out, you black and tan, come out and fight me like a man. Show the white how you and fellows down in Flanders. Tell her how the IRA made you run like hell away from the green and lovely lanes of Kilashara. Let me hear you tell how you slapped the great Parnell when you thought him well and truly persecuted. Where are the spears and cheers that you proudly let us hear when our heroes of 16 were executed? Come on, you black and tan, come out and fight me like a man. Show the white how you won medals down in Flanders. Under how the IRA made you run and fell away from the green and lovely lanes of Kilashara.
That's kind of a little bit more of a perkier one. So, well, let's see. I see here that, who is it? Iowa Cat. I believe she had asked about the Marine Cuisine. I'd picked that up at a place called Stein Gardens and Gifts. It's I know they've got quite a few different stores in Wisconsin. You know, it's basically I really shouldn't call it a yuppie garden center, but they've got an awful lot of stuff in there for the the people who want to prettify their yards, as well as those who do gardening as well. But let's see here, marine cuisine. Actually, I had a chance to run outside and grab the package here, which luckily I didn't throw away. Let's see here. Who's it from? Oh, I thought it had it. Oh, here we are. It's from a place called Fox Farm Soil and Fertilizer Company. And they're based out of Arcata, California, in Humboldt County. And their website, in case you can't find it in your area, their website is www.foxfarmfertilizer.com. So FOXFARMFERTILIZER. And let's see here. I'm just kind of reading what it's got here. It says here that it says marine cuisine is a comprehensive blend of powerful plant foods combined with Pacific Northwest seagoing fish, crab meal, shrimp meal, bat guano, and plenty of our own earthworm castings. So, what this is actually, let's see. They say on the front of the package, it says it's for evergreens, acid-loving plants, and vegetables. And what it is it's actually a time-release form of for nitrogen, such as your plants aren't going to, you know, totally spaz out, you know, basically explode out of the ground and then die because they've exhausted themselves. The stuff kind of, you know, ramps up the nitrogen as the season goes on. Okay, and take one more quick peek here in the chat room to see if there's any. Okay. Nope, no other new questions. Yeah, you're right. You know, it might have some Fuku radiation in there. I'm not sure. You know, it's the stuff's out there, but I don't think it's that concentrated yet. So, okay. Well, I suppose why don't I do this? Like I said, I did go ahead and make up my own fertilizer mix, and so if we scroll down the page here a little bit. You know, got kind of what the analysis was of the parts of it, and, you know, showing a picture of the bags. First off was, again, I hate you know, pushing some of these companies, but, you know, this is what I got. You know, the first one here was the blood meal, and of course, it's from Miracle-Gro, and, you know, sometimes Miracle-Gro has kind of a bad reputation. Of you know, part of the whole chemical warfare industry, I guess. But for blood meal, it's kind of hard for them to screw that up. So, and yeah, the blood meal, that's, you know, they do their ratings, the NPK, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Well, blood meal, that's just basically, again, It's basically a large nitrogen booster. It helps with foliage growth and roots. No extra phosphorus or potassium in here. This is just 12% nitrogen. And I figured I'd throw this in for those who might be of, shall we say, Middle Eastern persuasion. I don't know. You know, and there's Christian branches too that have, you know, things against pork. So. And this particular brand is, you know, it's derived from pork blood. So, okay. Next thing, about a 3-pound bag. Next thing I had used in this mix is bone meal. And if you notice here that, you know, the proportions are different. It's only got 4% nitrogen and 12% phosphorus. And again, no potassium in there. And that was about a 4.5-pound bag, you know, fairly light. but you know, it gets calcium into the soil, and also you get some phosphorus in there. Third thing was, you know, the marine cuisine that we talked about. And again, this is one that's a little bit more of a broad spectrum. 10% nitrogen, and it's time release. 7% phosphorus, which again, is good. You know, most people's soil is short on that. And then 7% potassium. Again, that's one, I guess you could say, vital nutrient that a lot of gardens, you know, lose. You know, and they lose a lot of it. And here, you know, I don't know how best to explain this. You know, you probably noticed they got 10% nitrogen in one, you know, 4 in the other, and, you know, 12 in the first one. You know, it's a lot of nitrogen stuff that's going into the soil here. Well, this garden where these are, well, how to put it. The compost that I used in the buckets that's going to end up at the gardens for this next year. So I figured I'd leave it a little bit extra nitrogen in there, simply because there's an awful lot of wood chips in the gardens, which, again, wood chips suck nitrogen out of the soil, you know, as they decay. So it helps sometimes to, you know, give it a little bit of a kick in the butt with some sort of fertilizer that's high nitrogen, you know, to offset that. So another thing I'm going to be also going out and scattering both in the regular potato patch garden and also in the buckets here. I'm going to be going out and adding a little bit of diatomaceous earth, you know, just basically a light dusting of it, and also a very, very, very weak mixture of borax. Again, borax, you know, it's basically boron, and that's something else that's a trace mineral that isn't present in the soil in a large quantity to start with, and, you know, plants will suck that right out of the soil in a big hurry. Of course, you don't want to put too much, because if you put too much in, it basically poisons everything. So it's one of these ones where it's, oh, I'd say probably about a tablespoon and about 4 or 5 gallons of water, and just basically sprayed over an entire huge garden. You know, like I said, it's a real fine trace material. Okay, so if we scroll down to the next shot here. What I did was I took all three of the bags of fertilizers that I talked about, dumped them in a regular bucket, and went ahead and just basically stirred the heck out of it. And that's what I ended up with. It looks almost like you know, gray and black sand mix. But the black there is the blood meal, the gray is the marine cuisine, and the white is the bone meal. You know, good combination. Okay, so now, last item in this section is the milorganite that I talked about. And actually, milorganite stands for Milwaukee Organic Fertilizer. And that's been being produced down in the city of Milwaukee for the last 85 years, I believe. This stuff works quite well as a fertilizer. It also works as a deer repellent and some other critters. Figured I'd go ahead and mention that portion on that because you know, if you ladies and you guys, if you do gardening, you're liable to find, you know, critters wanting to get into the garden. You know, a little bit of this scattered around the outside of the garden, or if you put it like an old sock, you know, tie it off and then, you know, hang it from like a 2.5 or 3 foot high post in your yard, you know, along by your gardens or your flower beds. The stuff's not real nasty smelling, at least to people. It's, you know, it's a dry smell, you know, kind of fertilizer-y, but not bad. But Deer and rabbits and critters like that, they hate it. Yeah, it drives them away. Well, Morganite, actually I did find an analysis of that particular one. And, which is kind of useful. It's only 5% nitrogen, 2% phosphorus, and a third of 1% of potassium. Again, fairly low, but it's a time release thing. Secondary nutrients, calcium, sulfur, and magnesium. All three which we need in our diets. And as the Morganite dissolves and goes into your soil, if you use it for a garden, it'll get you your trace minerals in there. And then the micronutrients, iron, zinc, copper. Copper is really important for your eyes. I found that out, researching things, ever since I started having my problems. And then manganese, boron. Remember I mentioned borax? Right here, they have boron in here, and again, it's just a very fine trace element of it. Chlorine, again, crazy as it sounds, poisonous in large quantities, but again, it's useful as a very small trace element. And molybdenium. So, oh boy, hey, we're two-thirds of the way through the night here already, and I did not do a commercial at the bottom of the hour. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead. Where are we? Well, I'll go ahead and put another piece of music in here, and then we'll have a commercial after that, and we'll come back, and then I'll run through the whole process I did of getting my containerized potatoes planted. So let's have a little bit of the Lord of the Dance here.
And I lead you all wherever you may be. And I lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the morning when the world was begun. I danced on the moon, on the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced. Daughter in Bethlehem, I had my birth. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I lead you all wherever you may be, and I lead you all in the dance, said he. Scribes and the Pharisees, they wouldn't dance, they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, James and John, they came with me, and the dance went on. Dance, dance, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance. Maybe, and I lead you all in the dance. I'll never ever die. I live in you, if you live in me, for I am the Lord of the dancing bee. Dance, dance, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I lead you all wherever you may be, and I lead you all in the dance, said he. Dance, dance, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he.
Okay, well, I'm back. Hopefully my voice isn't sounding like it's rattling the speakers as well. I may have to turn my gain down on there just a touch. Hopefully that's better. Yeah, like I was commenting in the chat room, yeah, it seems like the internet's getting weirder by the day. You know, last night I was getting probably maybe 20 to 30% of the discussion that Doc and Concrete were having. Kind of frustrated me. But hopefully Concrete can get his archive file to me, and I'll go ahead and get that up. So I'm actually going to go ahead and start doing an archive file / page for Concrete as well, just like I've done for Mother Earth. And actually got a few more of her shows to get up on there, along with some recipes she sent me. So we're doing okay on that. And I think I just figured out what the speaker sounding like it was blowing was. My headphone was hitting my beard. Yeah, it's kind of big bushy beard. So okay, so I suppose I should probably continue along here, because the evening is flying, and actually probably what I'll do is, once I get through with this, the major section here, I may just go ahead here and play a little bit more music tonight. We'll see, you know, but that'll be after the top of the hour. Okay, so next section on the page here, preparing your compost. The first picture here is, this is some of the compost I had that I was using this week. Some of the, like I said, came from the city. You know, around here in the fall of the year, they run around with pretty good sized truck with what looks like a vacuum cleaner on, where they just, people rake their leaves out to the, not all the way out to the street, but onto the verge, you know, between sidewalks and the curb and gutter. You know, basically rake their leaves all out there, and the city comes along with this their own little vacuum cleaner / composter, and you know, sucks them all up, grinds the leaves up, and they take them down to the city recycling center and makes some hellaciously large compost piles. You know, generally their compost piles here in Ripon, those are usually about, oh, I'd say about 20, 25 feet wide by about 15 foot high, and usually about 100 to 150 foot long. And they'll have maybe, on a good year, they'll have four or five basically bunks of these. It's pretty neat. And, you know, they're out there all winter long. You know, periodically they'll get out there in the wintertime and literally turn the pile, in snow or not. You know, they'll clear the snow away, and then they'll turn the whole darn pile. It's amazing, and it produces some pretty good compost. It's basically leaf mold, but unfortunately, you're going to find other stuff in there, too. You know, old paper coffee cups, hamburger wrappers, I've even seen dirty diapers and soda bottles and soda cans in this stuff. So anyhow, what I do, you know, like I said, this is some that I had from down at the city. And the next picture down is a compost screen I made. I actually use the same screen for when I harvest potatoes. I'll get it up on some short stakes. And for potatoes, I just basically have some moving stakes. I move along in the bed where I'm harvesting the potatoes. I dig them up by the shovelful, toss the whole thing on the screen, shake it, wiggle them, get my potatoes saved that way. Being such that this is like about a quarter of an inch hole, actually it's probably about closer to 3/8, but the way I do my compost, I take the raw compost from the city, you know, put the screen over the top of a bucket, you know, throw a couple of shovels full of compost on top of there, and I just basically rub it through the screen. It breaks it up, and at the same time, it basically filters out any of the rocks, sticks, you know, paper, soda cans, whatever. I basically clean the stuff and break it up. And, you know, every so often I'll have to take, you know, empty the screen into the junk pile, which is basically a couple, got some holes in the yard that need filling. So I just kind of dump the stuff in a pile, and when I get a hole in the yard that needs to get filled, you know, dig it out a little bit more, throw the rocks, the stones, and whatnot in the bottom, put dirt over the top of it, or some more compost, you know, put some seed in, step it down, water it, and, you know, repair the yard. You know, obviously the soda cans don't go in there, but, you know, the stuff that belongs in the soil goes in the hole. Okay, next shot down is, it's kind of like at the bottom of the bucket. This is some of the screen compost. As you can see, it's fairly small, fairly regular in size. Okay, so time is flying, so we'll have to go through here quickly. This is where I did the potting up of my sets in the pots. And believe it or not, these two top pictures, these are just a few of the potatoes I had sprouting this year. So, and these are mainly Yukon Gold and Mega Chippers or Super Chippers, you know, large style potato that's useful for making potato chips and french fries and things of that sort. So here's the process, next one down. Like I said, these buckets are about 15 inches diameter and about 15 inches high. And you can't really see it too well in these pictures, but all the way around, these have, you know, some holes that are about 3/4 of an inch to an inch wide by about 1.5 inches high. And there's like, depending on the buckets, sometimes you see them with 4 and other times you see them with 6 or 8. And they might even have one more drainage hole in the bottom. They're very useful for this. So what you do is you remember we had our mixed homemade fertilizer? This is where it gets used. First thing, what you do is you take and put about 3 inches of the screen compost in the bottom of the bucket. And then you throw in about 4 ounces of fertilizer. You know, the dry stuff, which is, like I said, you know, it's got a lot of nitrogen in there, but it's, you know, time-release stuff. Lasts about 3 months, which, about as long as your potatoes are growing. But put 4 ounces of the stuff in. And you just basically get in there with your hands and just mix it up. Stir it all up really good. Level it out. At that point, you take a couple potato sets. You know, if you have large ones with several sprouts on, you do 2. If you have smaller ones that, you know, have very few sprouts or eyes on, you can go to 3. Basically, you kind of line a couple of them up with, in this case, I had 2 of them. Some good sprouts on, kind of, you know, lined them up with a couple of the holes that were in the bucket down at the bottom, or in the sides on the bottom. And, you know, just barely got them down into the compost. After that, what you do is you just take and put another 2 to 3 inches of compost over the top. And you just kind of can press it down gently. You don't need to add more fertilizer at this point. And the way these work is, you know, obviously you're only starting out with like 5 inches of dirt or so, 5 to 6 inches of compost in there, which is definitely not enough to grow potatoes in to start with. But as your potatoes grow up through the compost, or your potato plants, when they get, say, 4 inches high, what you do then is you go ahead and put more of your dry compost in, or, you know, damp compost, around the stems as they're growing. And what you do is you bring it up so, you know, almost all the leaves at the top are covered, you know, with this compost. And you, and then again, you water them, and you got to keep them watered. Potatoes use about between 1 and 2 inches of water per week during the growing season. It come from rain, or, you know, if you have to water them, you just want to make sure you get at least 1 inch of water in to each pot. Like I said, when you press it down, that helps, you know, pack it so it doesn't have, you know, quick drains for the water to get out. And what you do is you actually go ahead and, you know, throughout the summer, you know, as the plants grow, you know, the spring and summer, you go ahead and, you know, you basically keep up with the growth of the plant, and you keep that stem covered. And what happens with potatoes is it, you know, grows roots off the stem, and the new potatoes, the tubers, form on these roots. So you want to, you know, keep them covered, give them plenty of growing room. Obviously, once you get the pot filled up almost all the way, then you can't add any more compost. So at that point, it's just a case of making sure you get the things watered, you know, as you go. Okay, so next one here, this is where I got five of the containers done. I had 22 altogether. Like I said, the first 10 were my control group, which used Milorganite fertilizer, and then the rest of them I used the whole mix. So go down here quickly. The next shot here is, you know, one of the quote unquote beds I made for the prepared buckets. So just went ahead and tilled it real good. You know, wasn't real fussy about getting all the green stuff out. There's, you know, obviously you can see this, you know, a lot of weeds and daylilies out beyond it. But I figured this is a good test spot for it. So what you do once you get the soil tilled, kind of dig it out a little bit. You know, about 2 inches deep. You set the pot down and kind of wiggle it into place, and then you go ahead and mound the dirt up around the pot. You know, probably, you know, 4 or 5 inches. What you're doing with this is you're giving the some place for the roots to grow, because obviously there's going to be roots that come out, you know, feeder roots, you know, for moisture and whatnot, and for minerals. They'll find those holes through the side of the bucket and work their way out and into the surrounding soil. So you want to make sure that they stay good and dry, or good and moist, and don't get sunburned. So that's why you mound the dirt up around it. And these last two pictures are my own little twist on it, because I'm a big believer in mulch in a garden. And so what I did was, after I had the buckets all mounded up around them, I went ahead and I have quite a pile of straw mulch that I get. Again, I found a local farmer who, well, actually he's my neighbor, but he sells me one of these 6-foot bales, you know, the round bales. I'm lucky enough to where he'll sell me one of those for $20. And actually around here they've been going for between $50 and $60 because of, you know, the demand for them. The hay has been kind of short supply the last couple of years, but my neighbor, he's kind enough to me to sell them to me for $20. Of course, what it is I tell him, hey, you know, if you got some that's been, you know, too badly light exposed to where it's, you know, burned away to where it's not good enough for animal feed anymore, it'll still work great for compost and for mulch. So that's what I do. You know, pound the dirt up around the pots and get straw over the top of the dirt. That way, when I water the potatoes in the pots and any rain that we get, that'll go down through the straw. It'll moisten the soil. And it'll keep the soil cooler during the summer as well. And that way it protects the soil, keeps the moisture in there for the potatoes to grab. And again, last picture out of the series is the first 10 in place in that part of the garden. And yeah, they were all ready for watering, which I did. And we'll see how they do. And actually, as the summer goes on here, I'll probably go ahead and have another page just showing the growth on these things, just to see how they work. And then this fall, when harvest time comes, I'll probably do a bunch of shots just to let you all know how, what kind of, shall we say, what kind of production I got out of them. Okay, so that's pretty much it for the main part of the show here tonight. You know, for how to plant potatoes in pots. Okay, so now I'm going to go ahead here. Since it's right at 10 o'clock, I should do a commercial. And once we've done that, I'll probably go ahead here and play some more music if you guys want. So, again, thank you much for joining me here in the Tinker Shop for Saturday, the 24th of May of 2014. God bless, take care, and have a very good week. And talk to you very soon.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when the Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Cal and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. Medi-Cal, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Just Measures Radio Network.
was saying in the chat room here. That was a piece called Great Spirit. And, well, maybe I'll play a few more of these in here. Like I said, you know, Mother Earth and concrete, and with our discussions we've had, you know, they've gotten me more into listening a little bit more to the First Peoples music, or the Native American music, however you want to say it. Seems to be, well, like I'd commented, I think was it Minnie? I think I'd said that to you earlier, that I've been getting into a little bit more of the, the relaxed or life-affirming musics. I don't know. It seems to be just something to listen to in these days. Now, here's another one. It's called News Times. Again, it's another one that's fairly nice and fairly mellow.
Thank you.
yeah. Well, Doc, you know, part of the reason I'm kind of playing some of this music tonight, not only is it nice and mellow and relaxing, but it does have pipes in it, but it's not the bagpipes, which I don't think you like quite as well. But, well, tell you what, I'm going to do another one here. This one's called Two Flutes. Yeah, the last one, by the way, was a piece called Summer Grace. But like I said, this one here is just Two Flutes. And then we'll see what we go to after this. To the ground, you know, the rains. Well, yeah, so, by the way, probably tonight here, I probably will be only going until 10:30 here, because, and then getting a couple, how would you call it, I'm musical interlude archive before we get Mom's programs rerunning again tonight. But, because tomorrow is going to be a busy day. We're having our family reunion up here. And, like I said, hopefully my Uncle Bill will be here for it. It depends whether or not he is able to make the trip and if his wife is also able to make the trip. It'd be about, what is it? Oh, they live a little north of Chicago in one of the way out suburbs, so. But like I said, he's about 90 and, he's a gentleman of the old school, which, man, if I could just get him talking, I think I could probably learn a heck of a lot from him. Well, I want to throw a dancing crow in here. You know, something that's a little bit more active. So, here we go. A little bit of dancing crow. Tell you what, I'm going to put a couple last pieces of music in here, because I know a couple people had asked for these in the past, and I think there'll be a couple good ones just to slide on out with. So, again, thank you for joining me here tonight, and do apologize for pooping out on everybody early here, but got a little bit extra, a little half hour extra in here tonight, so. Again, thank you, and we'll see you all tomorrow, maybe, if Bobby has got his Godly Living program on in the morning. So, take care. God bless.